This is KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM. KMXT is also in HD, and we have HD2 and HD3. We're also streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. For your midday report, we'll have a little bit of information about the wind that's hitting Kodiak today and tonight, as well as we hear about the borough appointing a new borough manager. We're going to take a quick look at your weather. Fair with skies with haze and breeze today. Looking out the window, it is fairly cloudless. A few clouds off in the horizon. West winds 25 miles per hour, gusts to 48 right now. Today, 20% chances of snow showers, then areas of blowing snow. Partly sunny with temperatures falling to 25 around 5 p.m. Winds 30 to 40 this afternoon, gusts as high as 60. Tonight, areas of blowing snow and mostly clear with lows around 18. West winds 50 to 55, gusts as high as 80. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny, winds coming down 35 to 45, and then with gusts down to 55. Still pretty fast. You got NPR coming next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The U.S. intelligence community has concluded it's very unlikely that a foreign country is responsible for the so-called Havana Syndrome cases involving U.S. officials working abroad. As NPR's Greg Myrie reports, the findings come as a disappointment to those officials who believe they suffered direct attacks which caused serious injuries.
The report says an extensive investigation could not find evidence that foreign adversaries were responsible. It says the symptoms suffered by U.S. intelligence officials and diplomats were probably caused by environmental factors and existing medical conditions. Beginning in Cuba in 2016, dozens of U.S. officials overseas say they've suffered ongoing ailments that include dizziness, headaches, vision problems, and memory loss. CIA Director William Byrne said the findings, quote, do not call into question the real health issues that U.S. government personnel have reported. Many are receiving medical treatment and in some cases have received financial compensation. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
Congressional Democrats are applauding drug maker Eli Lilly for capping the price of insulin at $35 per month. NPR's Windsor Johnston has more.
Calling the decision by Eli Lilly a breakthrough, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is pushing for an across-the-board price cap on insulin.
While I hope other manufacturers follow suit, there's no substitute for locking this down as mandatory and permanent for all Americans. We Democrats as a caucus have been pushing this for over a year. This is a good step forward.
President Biden praised the move in a tweet calling on other drug makers to also lower insulin prices. According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 8 million Americans rely on insulin to survive. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
A federal agency plans to examine potential health hazards from cooking on gas stoves. NPR's Jeff Rady reports the Consumer Product Safety Commission says it's just gathering information now and not taking regulatory action yet.
Cooking with natural gas emits potentially harmful pollution when that fossil fuel is burned. Studies show it can lead to breathing problems, especially for children. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is asking the public for information on hazards from cooking with gas and proposed solutions. Earlier this year, Commissioner Richard Trumka Jr. said he wants to keep the possibility of banning the sale of gas stoves on the table. His earlier effort to start a regulatory proceeding was blocked by fellow commissioners. Gas stoves have become a flashpoint in a broader battle over efforts to switch homes away from gas to electric appliances to meet the country's climate change goals. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. In Greece, rescuers are searching through burned-out and flattened rail cars after a passenger and freight train crashed head-on outside Athens. At least 38 people are dead, dozens are injured. The station master has been arrested and the country's transport minister has resigned. There's no word yet on the cause of the crash, but Greece's prime minister said in a televised address that it points to human error. For the second day in a row, advisors to the FDA voted to endorse the first vaccine for RSV for older adults. And Piers Rob Stein has more.
The FDA advisors voted overwhelmingly that a vaccine made by GSK is safe and effective at protecting people aged 60 and older against RSV. RSV is a common respiratory virus that can cause serious illness, especially among older people and young children. A day earlier, the same advisors voted more narrowly to endorse an RSV vaccine made by Pfizer for those aged 60 and older. The advisors, who voted against both vaccines, cited potential concerns about safety, especially a rare neurological disorder known as Guillain-Barré syndrome. The FDA will decide by May whether to approve the vaccines. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Pilots at Delta Airlines today ratified a new contract that includes an immediate 18% pay hike that grows to 34% by the end of the contract. The new deal, which lasts through 2026, also includes reduced health insurance premiums along with other improvements in pay and benefits. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
It's 12:06 in Kodiak. I'm Brian Benoit. It's time for your local news. The National Weather Service has issued a high wind warning for Kodiak from 6 a.m. Wednesday through Thursday morning. According to the forecast, the island will see winds of 40 to 50 miles per hour with gusts up to 80 miles per hour. A gale warning is also in effect for mariners on both the east and west sides of the island until Thursday morning. Nicole Sprinkles is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Anchorage.
This low is basically forming near Kodiak Island, and it is deepening quickly near Kodiak Island and is actually pulling cold air from the north. So a lot of that cold air advection is just causing these strong winds to develop.
Parts of the Kenai Peninsula will see up to 18 inches of snow from the storm, according to Sprinkles. Kodiak won't see much new snow, but residents should be wary of possibility of loose debris, property damage, and power outages from the windstorm. Sprinkles says residents should also limit their travel due to the low visibility. Looking out the window, it is quite blustery out. And after an eight-month search for a new borough manager, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly unanimously chose current borough mayor Amy Williams to take the reins. It's been a tumultuous journey to find a new borough manager. The previous manager was fired last summer, and her predecessor was fired in the fall of 2021. That's left borough staff without consistent leadership for about 18 months. Amy Williams began her term as borough mayor just last year, but amid struggles to fill the borough manager position, the assembly voted at a special meeting on Monday that Williams was best suited for the job.
I'm excited for the opportunity. I think it's going to be a big challenge, and I know I have a lot to learn, but it's pretty amazing when people have faith in you and show you that they're willing to work with you.
The role of Kodiak Island Borough Mayor has strict limits on what they're able to do and relegates more hands-on decisions to the borough's manager instead. Williams says the transition to manager will allow her to provide a stronger and more consistent leadership to communities across the archipelago.
As the manager, the entire staff will be working for me, so that's going to be quite a big change, getting to know all those folks and understanding what their needs are and how we can serve them best.
But Williams leaving her current position means the borough will be without an elected mayor. The assembly will need to appoint an interim mayor in her place until the next municipal election.
They will advertise for people who are interested, and then they will come in, and then the assembly will actually appoint a mayor until the next election when the community can re-elect for the next three-year cycle.
The new job also means Williams will step down from her current full-time position as executive director of Discover Kodiak. She says she'll miss her job, but she's looking forward to serving the community in a different way.
I'm hoping that I can help be a part of more changes that affect more people across the archipelago. I'm very interested in being involved with our villages and making connections with people who live everywhere on the island and not just on the road system. So I really look forward to visiting some of those places and building relationships with those folks.
If the assembly approves, she says she will continue her job at Discover Kodiak and as borough mayor through April. Williams will begin as borough manager on May 1st. And testing of 16 lakes and other waters in the Fairbanks North Star Borough and municipality of Anchorage found varying levels of PFAS. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the testing expands knowledge about water contamination in both areas by the so-called forever chemicals.
The 16 waters tested include 9 lakes, a creek, a slough, a pond, and 3 gravel pits. The PFAS contamination ranged from a low of 2.8 parts per trillion in Belaine Lake in Fairbanks to 952 ppt in Lake Spinard in Anchorage. The data is compiled in a report by Alaska Community Action on Toxics.
The report reflects samples that we took in water bodies in Anchorage and the Fairbanks North Star Borough in 2021 and 2022. We detected PFAS in all of the water bodies that we tested.
ACAT Executive Director Pam Miller says the test results raise concerns about exposure through associated groundwater wells and recreational use.
These are waters that people use for fishing in some cases or for pets. In some cases, people use them for swimming. So we think that this is really a critical public health issue.
PFAS compounds bioaccumulate, and Miller says there are already state fish consumption advisories in effect for some of the waters tested.
The levels that we found in most of the water bodies, both in Anchorage and the Fairbanks North Star Borough, are similar to water concentration levels that had been measured by the state of Alaska that resulted in the ADF&G consumption advisories.
Miller urges the Alaska legislature to approve a bill that would require airports to phase out use of PFAS-containing firefighting foams, a primary cause of ground and surface water contamination.
But we also need enforceable and health-protective drinking water standards for PFAS as a class. And then we need surface water action levels to protect aquatic life and public health, because we know these chemicals can affect our health at extremely low exposure levels.
The Division of Spill Prevention and Response at DEC is going to be working on a regulation package to update the cleanup levels.
Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation site cleanup manager Bill O'Connell says the agency will use the latest science to develop the new PFAS regulations.
As toxicity data becomes better and more defensible, that allows the state to use that toxicity data to establish cleanup levels.
O'Connell says the updated regulations could be out as soon as late this spring. He says the DEC oversees response to PFAS contamination at 140 active sites in the state. Meanwhile, the EPA recently announced the award of nearly $19 million to Alaska to address PFAS drinking water contamination. An agency release says the money will be distributed through grants to communities. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And Emily Robinson of Nenana has repeated as junior Iditarod champion. Robinson bested 15 other teams in the 150-mile race from Kinnick Lake to Willow this past weekend. Robinson's winnings include a $6,000 scholarship, a new dog sled, and a trip to Nome for the Iditarod Finishers Banquet. Speaking at the junior Iditarod award ceremony, Robinson thanked her family for their support.
My parents and my brother, we've been training together ever since fall time, and we've been doing this as a family, and I want to thank them for all their dedication and hard work, because obviously I wouldn't be here without them.
According to a post on the Robinson Racing Kennels Facebook page, Emily is the first female to win the Junior Iditarod twice in its 46-year history. Morgan Martins of Wisconsin and Alan Reddington of Wasilla finished second and third. 14 of the 16 teams that started the race finished. All junior Iditarod finishers received scholarships and prizes. This year's junior Iditarod field was the largest since 2009. And a large contingent of Alaska leaders has descended on Washington, D.C. to lobby for the Willow Oil and Gas Development Project to put pressure on President Biden to approve it. This comes as the Biden administration is poised to make a record of decision on the $8 billion prospect that would be developed by ConocoPhillips in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. The Alaska group includes leaders from unions, Alaska Native organizations, and the state legislature. They plan to hold a joint news conference with Alaska's congressional delegation on Wednesday afternoon in front of the U.S. Capitol. Nagaruk Hacharkarek is the president of the Voice of the Arctic Inupiat, which represents about 24 North Slope organizations. Hacharik says the Willow Project is key to the region's self-determination.
So that we're forging that path, right, and we're not having it forged for us, because without the development, without the economy, we're reliant on the state and the federal government, right, for what we can and cannot do.
The Biden administration has sent out mixed messages about Willow, with the Bureau of Land Management signaling it would approve the project with limits on drilling, while the Interior Department has raised concerns about environmental and subsistence impacts. The proposal is for 5 drilling pads. ConocoPhillips has said it would not be viable if it were scaled back to only 2, and the BLM says it would allow 3, with a 4th to be considered later. Environmental groups have said it would escalate climate change. Also, New Ixit, the North Slope community closest to Willow, has raised objections. There are worries the development would affect migrating caribou and cause health problems. On Monday, the Alaska Senate passed a resolution in support of the Willow Project. The House passed a similar measure last week. Those resolutions will be presented to the Alaska Congressional Delegation tomorrow as a show of support. Our last story for today, with no local buyers in Nome or the Norton Sound region to purchase Norton Sound Red King crab from this winter's harvest, commercial fishermen are needing to get creative to sell their catch. KNOM's Greg Knight reports.
7 commercial fishers are registered to catch and sell Norton Sound Red King crab right now. That's according to Jim Menard, the Arctic Area Manager for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Starting in 2020, there was no buyer, so there's been no buyer for the last 4 years for the commercial winter fishery. So, and for crabbers to sell, they have to be a catcher-seller then, or a direct marketer, and then they can sell the crab.
Adam Bachman is a commercial fisherman based in Nome. He says being a catcher-seller can reduce the amount of crab you catch per day, unless you have a buyer already lined up.
It adds a lot of complexity to fishing for king crab. We have to find buyers before we catch the crab, and or figure out how to hold the crab until we can sell them. You can put them in holding pots and stuff like that, but it really limits your ability to prosecute a fishery. It kind of puts you into the tens and twenties area, where you can catch 10 or 20 crab and sell those pretty much easily a day. Or you have to, you know, figure out how to ship them and keep them alive.
Because crab is sold live and not dead like salmon or other seafood, Menard says there are fewer restrictions on how catchers can sell their haul.
It's much easier to sell crab as a catcher-seller than it would be, say, during salmon season when the fish are dead and you're restricted to selling from your boat or getting a special thing from DEC.
Menard added that despite the lack of a buyer in Norton Sound, the number of winter crabbers has seen an increase over the past 4 years.
In 2020, the first year there was no buyer for the winter crab fishery, only 2 registered. The next year, 2021, 5 registered. And then last year, 2022, the winter fishery, we had 9 registered, and at this point in the 2023 season, we have 7 registered.
Bachman says he is working on a process to get his crab to the Anchorage market as fresh but cooked.
Crab is very valuable, and it's a premium product, and when you ship 100 crab to Anchorage alive, if there's not somebody on the other end that can put them into live tanks, it's a ticking time bomb, if you will.
According to Menard, a large percentage of the guideline harvest level will be caught in the spring.
The guideline harvest level for the winter fishery is 31,400 pounds. Historically, about 70% of the crab caught in the winter commercial fishery are caught in March and April, so in the spring months, and we'll see.
I'm not sure why that story cut off there, but that is it for your local news. We'll have the Island Messenger in just a moment.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way. 486-4782.
Americans receiving food aid will get less starting this month. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute. Congress ended a pandemic-era program that had increased SNAP benefits, what used to be called food stamps. They returned to pre-pandemic levels as of today, meaning an average of $90 less a month for some 30 million SNAP recipients. TikTok is setting a daily 60-minute limit for users who are under 18 years old, although those over 13 can manually opt to keep using the video app. The Chinese-owned company says it came up with the limit after consulting with children's health experts. Eli Lilly is promising to cut the costs of some of its older insulin medications by 70%. The cuts will happen in October. The company did not announce new prices. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
For your Island Messenger, the Island Trails Network is collecting submissions for their 13th annual Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival to be held on Friday, April 7. The deadline to submit your entries is March 31st, so get out and start filming your adventures. You can visit www.islandtrails.org/film for guidelines. The Alaska Sea Grant is hosting a Business of Fishing workshop here in Kodiak on March 15th that runs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Fisherman's Hall. The workshop will cover business planning, tax strategies, and risk management. The event is free, but advance registration is required. Lunch will be provided. You can visit alaskaseagrant.org/events to register, or you can contact Julie at 907-250-9512 for more information. Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak hosts Living Through Grief, a six-week group beginning March 1st. That's today. The group is on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library. You can learn more and register at hpck.org, or you can call 907-561-0600. If you need your taxes done, there are a few options for you. AARP Tax Aid volunteers will provide free tax preparation and e-file for simple tax returns. Kodiak Job Service, you can check in at room 110 at 211 Mission Road every Tuesday and Thursday, February 14th through April 6th. It is first come, first serve. Two visits are required, one for intake, second to review and file the return. If you have questions, you can call Volunteer Tax Aids at 907-444-9257. And the Kodiak Public Library has an event coming up. Wednesdays at 3:30, the library offers a Lego club. So that's today. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Again, that's this afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Thursdays at 10:30, the library is hosting a Lapsit story time for babies 0 to 3 and their adults. You can join volunteer Abby Hannah to share a story and a song with some quality time to play and socialize. Tomorrow, March 2nd at 3 p.m. is also the next chess club meeting. You can drop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your chess skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open to all ages. And one last thing is they are calling for attention from fandom artists. If you have art you'd like to share for FanCon, you can join the library's Fan Art Forum on March 17th at 10 a.m. Bring your portfolio and unique art for display in the Fan Art Gallery. For more information, you can call Alana or Bailey at 907-486-8686. More information about any of these programs can also be found on their website at city.kodiak.ak.us/library. And we're going to have a, nice little music break before we get back to the community announcements. Before we get back to announcements, we're also going to go over the weather. Here in Kodiak, it's mostly cloudy, 32 degrees, west winds, 14 miles per hour, gusts to 25 at the moment. But this afternoon, temperatures will fall around 25 degrees, west winds 30 to 40 miles per hour, and gusts as high as 60. Tonight, gusts as high as 80, with a low around 18, and consistent winds about 50 to 55 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny with a high near 30, west winds 35 to 45, calming down just a bit, 25 to 35, but gusts tomorrow could still be as high as 55. The sunrise today was at 8:03 a.m. Tonight, it'll be at 6:41 p.m. That means 10 hours, 37 minutes of daylight. That's a gain of 4 minutes and 58 seconds. The record high for today was 51 degrees in 1962 and was matched in 2014. The record low was at negative 4 in 1986. Looking at your Kodiak District tides, there's a low tide coming up this afternoon at 4:54 of 1.4 feet, high tide at 11:57 of 5.6 feet, and another low tide at 4:12 a.m. of 4.4 feet. Over on the west side in Larsen Bay, that's 9:17 a.m. This morning had a high tide of 10.9 feet. The low tide will be at 5:10 p.m. of 2.3 feet. High tide again at 12:11 this tomorrow morning of 9 feet. Low again tomorrow morning at 5:08 a.m., 6.5 feet. For your marine weather forecast from Marma Island to Sitkanak, today there is a northwest wind 55 knots. Seas 21 feet with snow. Tonight, west wind 55 knots. Gusts up to 70. Seas 26 feet with freezing spray. And over at the Shelikof, there is a storm warning tonight with heavy freezing spray warning as well. Today, there's a west wind, 45 knots, gusts to 60 out of the bays and passes. Seas at 12 feet with freezing, spray, and snow. Tonight, west winds, 50 knots, gusts to 70 out of the bays and passes. Seas at 14 feet with heavy freezing spray. And back to some of your community announcements. We have a notice of public meetings from the Kodiak Island Borough. Excuse me, this one, I believe, is expired. There is a Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission meet and greet coming up. There's informal discussions such as new limited fisheries, current status of local fisheries, technical permitting issues, and more. You can stop by and visit at the CFEC Comfish booth. You can join them after Comfish Thursday at 5 p.m. as well at Kodiak Fisherman's Hall. The University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute is hosting free public talks. The next one coming up is on March 7th, Gnawing and Thawing, Beavers and Rapid Change in Northwest Alaska. You can contact Rod Boyce at 907-474-7185 or rcboyce at alaska.edu for a link to register. And Kodiak Refuge Salmon Camp Registration Lottery is open. The Kodiak Refuge will be having summer science camps for students going into kindergarten through 8th grade. You can find registration packets on the Kodiak Refuge website or stop by the Refuge Visitor Center. Packets are available at the front door or inside during open hours, which is Wednesday through Friday from noon to 4. Deadline to enter the lottery is March 31st. And the Kodiak Electric Association has three seats up for election for their board of directors. The deadline for filing petitions is on March 15. 3 seats on the board of directors are up for the election. Candidate packets are available by contacting the KEA office, and to be an eligible candidate, you must be a member of KEA. And the last announcement I have for you is the Alaska Business Development Center will be providing in-person tax preparation in many villages throughout rural Alaska. They say don't send in your tax documents to ABDC yet. There's a good chance their preparers are coming to you. To stay updated on whether ABDC is preparing taxes in your community, you can visit the website at www.abdc.org.
It's a tough time, but each of us can make a difference in the lives of Alaskans. All you have to do is give via Pick, Click, Give by supporting Alaska's nonprofits when you apply for your PFD. You aren't just donating. You're giving more opportunity, more hope, more chances. You're changing the lives of Alaskans with the click of a button. Don't forget to Pick, Click, Give when you fill out your PFD application this year.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.